So the title today is No Way to Escape.
No
way. No way. No way where we can escape.
Escape?
Escape. Run away. No way to run away. I put titles because otherwise it's very messy with the recordings to know which way. No way to run away. My Zen master favorite quote from I don't know exactly if it's a koan or a haiku or like a poem or a question with some intention of bringing someone somewhere. But the poem is, to know the way is to know oneself. To know oneself is to forget oneself. And to forget oneself is to get into the heart, or to melt into the heart of everything. Anything else needs to be said? Or To know the way is to know oneself. To know oneself is to forget oneself. To forget oneself is to melt into the heart of everything. If anyone needs, like, wants to say something, has anything to say.
Easier said than done.
Huh?
It's easier said than done.
Easier said than done. Yes. So the reason why I'm reading this, or one of the reasons, is because I feel that sometimes we go into the path and we look many places around, outside, looking for the spiritual in a similar way that we look for a job or like a university or something like that, or anything. And finally, somewhere we discover that that is inside. I think I mentioned the other day, the first 15 minutes I sat in meditation of my life was like, no one told me how to see it. So, like, as it happened here. So I was sitting there and basically feeling pain, you know, like my knees, and not exactly knowing what to do. But as soon as this thing, this bell rang, what came was this certainty that what I'm looking for, or I find it like this, looking in, or I will not find it anywhere. You know? And even though, like, with this pain and all this discomfort, but something was very clear. Like, was for the first time, I was not blaming, like, society or that teacher or that book or that whatever education I had or that thing from the childhood or whatever. No? Everything I tried to blame disappeared. No? So I was every time, oh, not this, and then not this and not that, and I was left with nothing, nothing else than myself. So this sense of, unless I find it here, I will not find it anywhere. That, of course, saved me a lot of money, because otherwise, the way I am, probably I would have gone around the world, like money and time, so I'm happy about that. But then this knowing myself, no? We start this journey of knowing myself, to become intimate with myself. We start discovering all these thousands of layers and patterns and movements that are inside. And then I think somewhere things become a little complicated. We start feeling, actually, there is so much stuff to fix that, you know, you know, I better do this or that, no? Go to this workshop or this other workshop. And like this, like innocently we start, but then I feel many times it becomes very complicated. No? We start discovering what's going on and wanting to change that. And of course, in this wanting to change that, there is an idea that we are going somewhere better, no? Where all this stuff is not there. But sometimes in this movement towards this better place, that becomes so important that it starts to be kind of a competition, no? Among other people who are doing the same, or with myself, within myself. I start to compare myself with others, or just going on comparing myself with myself, with how I think I should be, how the books describe it, how the teachers describe it, how religion describes it, or whoever describes it. Like, we are happy to take any description and go. And to me, it feels that this movement, so precious towards spaciousness, at some point, for what I see, it becomes like a contraction. And we even become like somewhere, like we can say, attached to the path itself, or very, very tied to my own awakening, we can say. So my own awakening becomes the goal. And because we all understand that this is a very good goal, somewhere I feel I must be better than whoever doesn't have this goal. No? And I'm, of course, the direction of my life, the goal of my life is more important than the goal of my brother's life, who is happy to make money. He always says, you do your things, my brother, he says to me, you do your things, don't worry, I will become rich, and so then you will not need to do anything, just like do your things. So far, I had to give more money to him than he gave to me, but he keeps saying this every year, so someday, hopefully it will be true. Oh, Gemma, it will, but just now I have this problem, okay. Everything will go well, but just like, you know, this, like, if you can, you know. This kind of thing. So how is that we go there? I really don't know. How is that we go back home and we expect our parents to have the same goal as I have and to devote their lives to meditation because this is the highest and they should really change their way of living because they are still eating meat and potato chips. And these stuffed olives, you know. So they should really change into this path and eat, of course, all these whole grains that have no taste, but they are very energetic. So all this is going on. I think we are laughing because I think it's a situation that we face many times. And even worse things than that. Really thinking that my practice is so important that everyone should make space for me. Of course, I should have wider mattress because I'm really deep, no? Really. So, people should know that and should, of course, make special space for me. No? And like this, on name of the goal. Luckily, the third line comes, you know. Conocerse a sí mismo. To know oneself is to forget oneself. Many times there is this gap. And we experience this gap where we discover spiritual practice, for example, and we know that it's important to follow that. So we follow that and we go many times into all this crap of competition and where I am, like where are you, and trying to be better than. And while doing all this, while being involved in this crap of comparison, comparing myself to other or to the path itself, at the same time, we report these experiences of oneness or spaciousness. So how that can be together and still be true. But somewhere I feel it's true. It's not that the experience is not true. It's not that those reports are lies. You know, there is falling into spaciousness. And then there is also coming out of spaciousness and getting into contraction. And in this contraction, the mind can remember the spaciousness and we can mention it, but somehow our hands cannot act from spaciousness. So then we have a kind of a problem, no? There is a report, but there is like expressing one action and there is the reality, like doing some other action. Someone in the group was saying this, feeling this gap. She was saying the gap between what I'm experiencing in the meditation and what I find myself in, like my actions. And it's not that because we have an experience and we have a taste of this spaciousness, we should automatically all live in there. Simply because this is not what seems to happen. So there is this gap, and it feels, wise to fill the gap. I was saying by seeing the gap, in a way by feeling the pain of this difference between the experience and the action, by feeling that pain and being aware of it, being embracing that, a move can happen, like more thirst for the spaciousness will be there. And the need for a change will be there. We don't like to live in this discomfort. And sometimes the only thing we want is to get rid of the discomfort of that gap. But actually, the discomfort itself is the fuel, say this word, is the fuel. Good. The petrol, no? That can move us towards something else which is not different from the experience. There are many things in the Zen tradition that I find funny or limited, I would say. But there are other things that I find really wise. One of them is the koans. I find very wise the idea itself, not how it's worked now in the West mostly. So the koans are these questions, like funny questions, that a teacher gives to students. And they are questions that have no sense, or you will not be able to answer those questions through the mind. And therefore, in order to answer this question, you really have to go to the experience. You have to go, sit, and experience it, the question, live with the question, be with the question, and then come back and say the answer. And then the interesting part of that is that the whole thing is arranged so that no one is allowed to escape. No flying away allowed in Zen. No experience unrooted. No speaking about love, but love, you know. If you say love, you will receive. One time, one question, and I said, what is this? This Zen master said, and he said, is this love? And she said, love, what is love? And I said, okay, I go to my cushion. Love, what is love? We all fill up all these gaps, like comodin, how you say this? What?
Joker
is always like love, no? When we don't know, like in this spiritual world, when we don't really know what to say, we put love there, no? So we have like five loves here in the pocket, and then we put it, no? And everyone happy. No? And the Zen answer is like, love, what is love? What is love? And the koans really are many questions, like say you have an experience, you fall into this spaciousness, and then all these questions thrown to you, like one by one, and they point to the experience into the world. They don't let you escape. So, to see all the faces of the same experience, not to only have the experience and be happy about this experience, but what that means in your life, in which way that experience is going to change your life. And if this experience is not going to change your life, throw it. Throw it. It doesn't mean anything. They say, no? If you are meditating and Buddha appears in front of you, spit at him. Blow it. No? Really, because we keep this taking in this image and this other and this idea and this other. And by the end, we have like 50 Buddhas sitting with us. And we happy, everyone happy, but no connection. No reality. To forget oneself is to enter the heart of everything. They say there are different ways of how we start meditating, how we start this path. They say you can start just by wonder of life, just by looking at life, nothing else, like if anyone would actually look at life, like single leaf, you can look at a single leaf, and be like so amazed how that can be, how that came to be, how is that possible, that just by looking at the leaf, that can really push your buttons enough to start the way, to start inquiring about what is life, and really start like walking that direction. Another way is through suffering, as Buddha says also, through suffering, through the experience of death and suffering, then that really leaves us blank and most of the times upset or angry or really not understanding why death. And that makes us starve. Or simply opening our eyes and seeing other people suffering. And I think this way, the suffering, or let's say the motivation or the provocation by fear, we can say, is one of the most known ways to start. Most of us started by, motivated by this fear. We want to know that, we want to know the meaning of that, we want to solve the problem of death. So we start. I wrote this note to one of my school teachers. I said, she asked some crazy question, like, what do you want in life? And I said, I want to find out about death. And she said, this is not possible. You can find out about everything, but not death. And I said, I'm going to find out about death. And left. No? Because there was no meaning in staying. So that really pushed my buttons. It cannot be. We are just living, like, nicely, right? And then wind comes and someone you love dies. What is this game? And how I can be sure that I'm not the next one to go? You know, and I didn't even ask to be here. So, you know, I'm finally here, so don't, at least, don't play this game. No? And death and suffering, which had been for many people the starting point, somewhere along the way, we forget even about that. Somewhere along the way, we go so much into our own world of me and my path and my own enlightenment, that I don't even remember that other people are suffering. Or we even end up saying, oh, they must have done something to end up like that. There is no freedom alone. There is no even other side of the river alone. The heart of everything is now and is in this, whatever we are doing. And if we forgot about that, that's okay. But that didn't forget about you, so it's there. Someone was saying the other day, I'm becoming simpler. And I was about to make a party. Then I remembered that we are in silent meditation retreat, so I didn't. But I really felt like playing drums or like just making a party, you know. I'm becoming simpler. Woo! I'm starting to be able to laugh at my own ups and downs. Able to relax about where I am in this enlightenment kind of cursa, what is it? Race. I don't know if there is any. thing that wants to be said.
Just like everything you just said, and I really believe very, very much in the whole world, all the human beings, every single thing being completely connected because we're all part of and share in all of the energy. And it's, and we forget that when we're sort of searching and thinking about what's bigger than us. It's like we totally lose the connection between everyone and everything because we're so busy like trying to get centered and like, you know what I mean? So yeah, I just think it's kind of, it's interesting that you just said that, and I sometimes feel a little bit torn on here between this like separation from other people or like, you know what I mean? But then I understand the importance of it also to really understand yourself,
you also, in order to like reach out into yourself, but yeah. We are to really do our own practice, to really turn in and go in, to know everything is to know oneself. And there are periods in life, periods of time in life, where we have to devote our time and our energy to this turning in, and that's essential and very important, like it's crucial. And it's also important to remember when in this turning in, things start to become complicated in the sense that I was saying, in kind of a start to get it into comparison and this kind of games, then it's also important to remember that is to know the world that we go in, to know everything that we start the path of knowing ourselves, so that we can laugh a little bit about that. That we can relax about my practice. You were saying something?
You were saying, and I asked him because I thought about it this morning, that if we are not happy or feeling uncomfortable, this is the fuel to get on in the path, like maybe when you're happy or whole, this is the stop, like to rest, and only when you feel uncomfortable, this is the fuel to get on. This is what you say.
No, what I say is like, because when we feel this gap between the experience that happens in meditation, which can be like spaciousness and love and all these things, and what I find myself doing in action, which could be like not that nice.
In action, you mean
in life, like in, yeah. We feel this gap, and this gap, if we see this gap, we will feel discomfort. Something in us will not accept that. And what I'm saying is to stay with this discomfort, to stay with this not accepting that. Because by not accepting that, like, we will look for something else. No? We will look for bringing our practice and our experience into action. Like, into action, I don't mean like any specific action. I don't mean like we have to be activists, no. But into our daily life, you know, in our, you know, cooking and working and whatever. And that is important, this step, what we experience and how that comes to our lives and transforms our lives and everyone's lives, even without teaching it, but kind of somewhere. You were saying?
I think I have two questions, but you just have to know. You talked about how death was a way for people to start the path, like was a way to.
Yeah.
Without searching. And I understand it's very personal, but I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about what you feel about death now, having kind of walked into the path of the world.
Because the movement is this, no? When I remember. Well, many things. I mean, you know, this is my own story. No? Yeah, so I remember, my aunt was sick for 6 years. She had cancer, and everyone assumed that, doctors assumed that she would die in, 4 months, I think, or something like that. But she lived 6 years, so we were living with this for 6 years. She was in our house, and two cousins were like our brothers. So, and I remember this, my father crying a few times, no? But this one time crying, and he said, I said, what's happening? And then he said, because my sister will die soon. Like, she will die. And I said, I know this will not happen. I said, this is impossible. It's totally impossible. Yeah, she's sick, I see, but for sure she will not die. She cannot die, you know. Like, meaning, like, for me, that was really, like, of course we see in the TV, you know, but was not registered as a possibility in the world of reality, you know, near me, you know, basically. And after a while she died. And I remember the very, the day that she died, my childhood ended, I feel. The day she died, I became adult. Because suddenly we're like, wow, that is here. That is, right? And somehow I really everything became secondary, and that became I have to find out about that. And people were a little bit laughing at me, why I was so pushy in finding out about this, no? Just, it will go away, no? Don't worry. And then 9 months later, my father died. So then I said, you see, I really have to find out. And like this, no? And it was really upsetting. With my father, it was very upsetting because that should not happen. That should not happen. That's, we agree on that, right? So, like this. And the process from that to really like going in and finding no death. When I said, I'm going to find out about death. And one day, I came out of meditation and with this feeling like, I finally found out. Now I know. But it's not that I found out about death. It's that I didn't find it. We could say. So then, of course, life completely changes, you know, from death to no death. There is much more space to live and to be. Not really. Like in this, forgetting means losing yourself. Like you cannot find yourself. So you cannot find yourself, you cannot find your feelings. Or in other words, you cannot find yourself. So everything becomes brilliant. Like everything becomes shiny.
There's no love joker in that.
Love joker. Yeah, we try, but it's not there. Like, because love, the way we understand is this emotional, and that is not there. We can invent names like higher love, whatever, but love, like, you know. But in this being not there, everything has its proper place, you know. Its place. When I'm there, like everything is moved around, like depending on me. When I'm not there, the world appears. No? So that's why when really this forgetting myself happens, then there is no, in reality, there is no possibility of escaping anywhere or not including everything. Because what is left is everything. I always feel somehow we keep mentioning God. Like because, let's say, because I cannot accept that this is what is, because it's too crappy to be what is, then I invent God, we invent God. And then we are happy by saying, ah, God, great, and this crappy thing. So this falling into place, also God falls into place, which means falls into the crappy thing and makes the crappy thing become God. And then it's very fun, no? Because everything you thought is like just ready to go to the trash is then becomes God, and then there is not enough space. Yeah.
To ask about when you were speaking about the disconnection between what you might experience doing meditation and then what you might experience in the sort of worldly interaction with somebody else, and the kind of discomfort of that.
Yeah.
And when you said, you know, that there's no freedom alone, but you sense sort of living among all the other sentient things around us. Yesterday at the lakeside, somebody was saying, I think Ajay was saying, you can't act on feeling pain for someone else, or if you do, then you act on a compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of doing something from duty rather than doing something from love. And that really struck me, because I know that's quite a big part of what motivates me, is the feeling that the pain of these other things around me, the pain I feel in not kind of bettering it. And I wanted to ask what you think of, like, how does that transform from kind of acting from a base of like discomfort of all of this pain around to like something that sounds very different in quality.
In the helping. You mean, because there are two things here, I see, no? One is what I was saying, this distance between my experience and my actions. This is one thing. And another thing is, like, when we feel the pain for others, we can act from the compulsory, which word, Ajay, use? Yeah, from this like lack, like wanting to help, you know, or from another place, no? which helps, but from the starting point is like, we can say, relaxing in that situation, like accepting this pain, not pushing away this pain, because we usually act because we cannot accept the pain. We cannot handle it in me or in somebody, then I have to act. But this is action from this place. Like you see, all the missionaries, no? Like, it is based on that. The need, or even worse, like I only exist if I'm helpful. If I feel myself that I'm helpful. If I don't see myself as helpful, I don't exist. So, but anyway, which one you mean? No, this thing, no? The second one would be with the others, when there is suffering, when you feel suffering. Like, to see this, we can say, to rest in the suffering. When I see suffering, what I want is to change the suffering. My goal is to change the suffering. Yeah? To change the suffering into something else. So I will be successful only if I make a change. Right? So other way of acting is embracing this suffering, we can say, and letting it be, and then act. Which means, like, the action is an action of love, not an action of, I act, but I want to receive back the money, and the money is, I want to see the change. I act for the fruits, we can say. If I want to change that, I'm acting for the fruits. But if I can embrace that suffering, I can act. We can say, and then this acting for love has no expectations. We can say, of course, by the way, something happens. And the other people's life probably changes. But I'm not expecting that money, that, you know, that payment back. I'm acting for, because there is no other pull in me than this. Help. Or because I'm not that busy with my own agenda that I can see the suffering and help. But I also don't need the results of that to reconfirm myself, we can say. I can help, but I don't build my whole identity into a helper, which is, I think, the problem with the missions and with everything, no? The whole identity, or I do it because Jesus said. So, what? He also said, I'm one with the Father, but we don't listen to that. We just go into the action, no? We are friends. I was a nun. I know the tricks. Yeah. That's why we find, like, so many activists fighting, no? And so many activists that they live on that. Like, the whole identity is helper. If you take the helper out, they are smoke, like, they don't exist, you know? So this seeing, this, like, really seeing truly, is very important before getting into changing the world. Because otherwise we are wanting to change the world according to what I think should be. And what I think should be probably has nothing to do with what is and what we can allow to be. Yeah, so it's very important. That's why, like, really, like, the poem is saying also, no, to we go into all this to come back to the world. It's not that then we will, you know, it's not like antennas will grow out of our head, you know. We will, like, human beings, like, see, like, we will, like, not be different. That's the thing, like, fully into the world without any difference, which is really, like, and totally different. You know, it's the story of Zen, like, coming back to the market with this big belly, walking into the market. No? That's after all these years meditating. So we can, yeah, okay, one more. Yeah, this, like what I said, like not to avoid the discomfort, not to try to smash the discomfort, because this discomfort is really helping us find creative ways to change that. Like finding like, makes us go in touch with the thirst of being authentic. So makes us like copy less and look in more, so that real change can come. And this gap is there, like it's not like it should not be gap, it should not be mistakes, you know, like they are, like the gap is there, and there is this period of time where we live into this, like, in between, and it's painful. And to remember, like, again and again, this possibility of coming back to this place of spaciousness. And then we go out again, and we find ourselves acting the same way again, but maybe some change. No? Then in and out, like, dizzy, no? Really finding like creative ways. When I go out, like, okay, this time I'll try this way or this other way, or being alive with life. No? Sometimes I say. Mm-hmm. The connection with
everything.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that, what you said. So I think it's like this one, so it's also part of the response.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's have a couple of minutes together in silence. May we all find a way to embrace what is, so that what I think should be can go in the second term.